Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Shakespearean Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, to start or not to start? That's always my question.
Yeah, and not to start is usually the answer. But this happens to be about car reviews.
Ah.
Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but car reviews have gotten, I'd say, pretty dull. Huh. I mean, let's face it, kids in English class in the year 2350 are not going to be studying reviews of the 2012 Kia Sportage. I'm pretty sure of that.
Unlikely.
So that got me wondering, what if a really good writer, I mean, someone like Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're talking, huh? What if he put his mind to reviewing cars? What would it sound like? And here are some examples of what I happen to have come up with.
You ready? I'm ready, yeah.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your legs. I need to push this damn Hyundai Accent again. Or out, damn spot. Unless you order the optional pet package with your Honda Element.
That's good.
What's in a name? That which we call a Volkswagen Touareg by any other name would sound a hell of a lot better, actually. Aveo, Aveo, wherefore art thou, rear leg room? Aveo. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the ambient lighting package on the new Ford Focus, and Juliet can pick from any of seven colors to match her mood.
Oh, beautiful.
Blow, blow, thou winter wind, and by the time I figure out the iDrive's heater controls, it'll be spring. And finally, oh, what men dare do. They put not 21 cup holders in the Cadillac Escalade, but 22.
I like that the best.
It's pretty cute. Well, look, if you have any literary car reviews, feel free to submit them at cartalk.com, and we'll post them for everyone to read and enjoy. In the meantime, if you have a question for us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Leland from Atlanta.
Leland, we've spoken before.
We have spoken before, and that's why I got a ticket of a bone to pick with you,
rascal. Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, did we lose Leland?
Oh, hey. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Well, the funny thing is, a couple of episodes ago, you guys were talking, and I think I remember hearing Ray saying that you guys had bought Tommy, or Tommy had bought Ray, a Mazda Miata for retirement.
I bought Tommy a Mazda Miata for retirement, yes.
Yes, he did.
No, I took the car out of retirement. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I did get him a Mazda Miata, and I had my best interests at heart there. But go ahead, Leland.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, when you said that, he said, and it's a great little car to drive. And I distinctly recall talking with you gentlemen about myself and my Mazda Miata and wanting to get another one. And I remember also there was a gentleman who was running for public office as a police chief or something. You asked him what kind of car he drove. It was a Mazda Miata. You guys told us they were chick cars and they weren't cool. And there's no way that, you know, real men need to be driving around Mazda Miata.
I confess, Leland.
This could all be true.
And it may still all be true. And I saw this car, and here's why I wanted to get Tommy the Miata.
Yeah.
I was between a rock and a hard place. Tommy was driving his 77 Fiat Spider. And about every, I don't know, 9 days, something major would happen. Something would break.
Oh, not major. Little things.
Yeah, little things. The windows wouldn't go out. The transmission fell out. You know, the engine caught fire. One day he shows up at the studio here, and he's reeking of gasoline. And I said, what happened? He said, well, nothing. Well, he had a massive gas leak that he had to smoke. And he had just been smoking a cigar. So there was one, as you can well understand, there was one thing after another that was happening to this car. And I saw the Miata, and it's about the same size as his Fiat.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know what? If I could fool him into driving this and have a car where everything worked.
Yeah.
He might fall in love with it. And now he can say what? Is he in love with it?
I'm in love with it.
All right, see?
I am.
Now, the question is, he's in love with a chick car.
Yeah.
Now, I fried the engine in mine because I drove the snot out of it. It seized up, stayed in the garage, and next thing I knew, it became basically a boat anchor.
So what year is your Miata?
Well, mine was, I had to get rid of it. It was actually a 91. It was one of the older ones that literally looked like basically a go-kart.
You don't have the mirrors by any chance, do you?
They're in the mail. I'll put it down. I'll send them to you.
So I know it's only a matter of time before Tommy knocks his off, but go ahead.
I want one again. I mean, it was a cool car, and I wanted, my wife said, get over it.
Oh.
And that hurt my feelings, man. And then I started thinking. Now I guess you can say I became, well, introspective. Huh. And so the thing is, when do cars go from being, i.e., chick cars or corny or, you know, you name it, to now being the coolest things ever? I'm looking at crossovers, and they're nothing but the station wagons of yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's when you know when a car goes from being a chick car to an okay car?
Yeah.
It's when you don't care anymore.
And, exactly.
Well, except there are certain limitations. For example, how big are you?
6'1", 225.
You ain't driving. No, you can't drive a Miata.
No, no, boy, I used to catch heat from that. It's like, hey, man, you got to lower the top because your head's hitting the ceiling.
Yeah, see, so there are certain size cars that certain size people shouldn't be in.
Well, if you live in a place where the sun is always out, you have the top down all the time.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, I'll be honest with you, driving around a Miata with the top down with a cigar, I mean, I felt my bravado level high. You know, I mean, it might be a chick car, but I'm a real man.
Go for it. Well, the good news is
it rains. You have to leave the top down anyway.
Well, you're right about that.
Well, you won't have to comb your hair in the morning. You can just get in it and you still have that swept back look, man. Well, go for it, Leland. And we're sorry that we berated you and your Miata when you had one.
No, no, I'll be honest with you guys. Are giving me now more effort. I have decided I don't give a rip. Who cares? I'm going to ride around in a flaming red Miata, and it'll be cool.
All right, Leland. Yeah, send us a photo of you in it.
Hey, but and like I say, the side view mirrors are in the mail.
All right.
Talk to you later then.
See you, Leland.
All right, then.
Thanks for calling, man.
All right,
thanks for straightening us out. See that you have to be careful when you throw stones. We call the Miata a chick car. We berated Leland for having a chick car, and now you own one.
I love it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, I'm Ann. I'm from Los Angeles.
Hi, Ann from Los Angeles. What's up?
Is it Ann with an E at the end or not?
It is with an E at the end. Thank you so much.
Oh, all right. And where are you from?
I am from Los Angeles, so kind of Glendale area.
Okay. Gotcha. We got you. We're homed in on you. What's going on,
Thanks
Ann?
For calling.
Okay. I drive a 2008 Black Prius. I have not heard of this issue, and I seem to be the only person that has it. So 3 times now I've gone to pump gas, and it clicks off, and I go to pull out the pump, and gas shoots out of the tank and, like, explodes all over me.
Oh, wow. Good thing you don't smoke.
I know. It, like, shoots out like a geyser and just pours down the side of my car, and, you know, I wouldn't mind if gas wasn't so expensive, but it's like, all right, there's another $10 all over my outfit, down the side of my car, on the
right.
ground.
Well, the first thing you have to do immediately is stop going to self-serve gas stations.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, let it happen to somebody else.
Right.
I didn't think about that.
So when this thing clicks off by itself.
Yeah, but it's just, like, I never know what I'm going to get now because, like, it'll click off around, like, 8 gallons and I'll take it out and everything will be fine.
Well, 8 gallons is the right amount, probably. You've gone from an empty tank to pretty close to a full tank with 8 gallons.
So. Yeah, because I think it takes 10 gallons.
Right.
I should know this, but.
Yeah, it's about 10 gallons.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it, like, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not paying attention and I look over and it's like 9.5 or close to 10. I'm like, oh gosh, I must have really been gunning it this week. And then I pull out the pump and it shoots out like you're spraying a hose and then runs down the side of my car. And I brought it to the dealership 3 times. I'm like, could you just check whatever clicks off the gas pump when I'm pumping because it's not clicking off?
Well, I have not heard of this and I'm sure Tommy hasn't either. I mean, the way this thing
How
works.
How do you know I never heard of it? You don't know.
I'm dumbfounded.
Really?
I've never heard of it.
I know. I hadn't heard of it either. And apparently the guys over at Toyota don't know what's going on either.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. I mean, it's pretty soon there's going to be a TSB on this. You cannot be the only Prius owner.
So the Toyota guys didn't see this on anybody else's car?
They haven't. different. And I don't know. I'm wondering if, like, other Prius drivers are going to come out of the woodworks and say it happened to them, too.
They are, for sure. And, when you head into the dealership and they see you coming, is there, like, a mass exodus to the men's room?
There's only one guy left, and he's a little guy.
old guy. And he says, I don't know nothing.
Maybe.
But all the other guys are hiding in the snurdling. They see you coming. Oh, go hide. Here comes in.
Don't light a match.
Yeah, I think your car may use a tank that has a rubber bladder inside. So as you put gas in, the bladder, I guess, gets compressed. But if the thing gets stiff, and I think especially in cold weather, you might not be able to get as much gasoline in there as you should, because the thing isn't flexible enough. And I don't know ultimately what Toyota's going to do to fix this, but I think that may be the issue with your car. So you're going to have to just either grin and bear it, or until they fix it, and they probably will eventually, or make sure you go to a full-service gas station.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good plan. Thank you guys so much for the info.
See you, Ann. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jose with a J. I live in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hey, Jose. What's going on, man?
I drive a 2002 Volkswagen Jetta TDI, which is the turbo diesel.
Yes, we know.
So last week, I was driving in a really, really heavy rainfall, and suddenly, I found myself in a deep puddle of water. It must have been like a foot, foot and a half of water. But the thing is, I couldn't see it before because, you know, there's probably an inch of water everywhere else, so it's not like I wasn't in water already.
Yeah.
So as the water is rising, I had like a split second to decide what to do, and I recalled a recent conversation I had with my friend Bill, who adamantly suggested that when that happens, you're supposed to just floor it and get out of there as quickly as possible.
Bill's a moron.
And so, because I always would have thought you got to go really slowly or turn the car off.
Yeah.
And he thinks if you go really fast, you're going to kind of plow the water out of the way, kind of like, you know, when Moses parted the sea.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, yes.
Did it work? Did it work?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, no.
No, the car did not go any further than that, and it stalled, and it... Well, I pushed it past the puddle, and then I tried to restart it. It would not even turn over.
And it went, I'm going to tell you the noise it made. Boom.
Uh-huh.
Ah, yes.
Boom. And that's the noise you're going to make when they give you the bill for repairing it. Oh, man.
Well, the thing is, I do a lot of this work myself, and I do get a lot of help. I'm not too worried about the labor bill.
You're going to need some help.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what happened to it?
I suspect I've bent a rod at least.
Yeah, it hydrolocked. What you did, and this is true for whether it's a diesel or a gasoline engine, you can wreck an engine by sucking water into the intake and essentially sucking water, which is pretty incompressible, into one or more cylinders.
Right.
And when you do that and that piston comes up, you know, at high speed, you know, many hundreds of feet per second, and it tries to compress that water, it bends the connecting rod, and it's
going to be awful.
It'll crush a piston crown. I mean, it can do all kinds of things, and you did that, man. You did it in spades because you had it floored.
I know. Yeah, it looks like there's no head damage. I don't know how likely it is to create any head damage if the timing belt didn't slip. But so if it's all at the bottom, and what else? I mean, could I expect the turbo to go bad from this also?
No, probably not. But to go ahead and pull this apart and fit it with new connecting rods and maybe new pistons.
Ooh.
And if you're in there,
you're talking about hundreds of dollars.
Oh, sure, sure.
Thousands.
I realize.
Yeah. Now here's the good news.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's applicable in Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
But I don't even know if it's applicable anywhere. But what if you, instead of doing this, had smashed into a tree?
Yeah.
Would you then not be contacting your insurance company?
Oh, sure. But the problem is I only have liability.
Oh. Oh, you needed stupidity insurance.
Yeah,
you
didn't have it.
Oh, so yeah. We got my brother loaded up with stupidity insurance. So yeah, you needed. So if you only have liability, you're not. But had you had what's called, I guess in most states, comprehensive insurance, I think this might have been the equivalent.
I think so too. In fact, that's what they told me when I called the insurance company. But so in general, what are you supposed to do in these puddles?
Go around. it's hard to, you know, again, if it's a street that you're not familiar with, it's hard to kind of assess how deep it is.
Mm-hmm.
And my MO is to let some other moron drive through first. and you kind of get an idea when you see the water coming up to the windows. You say, well, wait a minute, maybe I'll go around and find another way to go. So
okay.
I think, you know, if you want to earn the side of caution, you either wait for someone else to drive through or you just find an alternative route. And by the way, if the water was indeed too deep, it would have made no difference if you went through fast or slow.
Okay.
You know, so you, your friend wasn't right. But you would, never mind. We don't want to talk about him.
Okay. No. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck, Jose. And send us pictures when you get the engine torn down.
Oh, okay. I will.
All right. See you
later.
A lot of pictures.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Look, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler. Do you happen to remember anything about it?
Yes, I remember that you described it as putrid.
Well, yes, in a rare moment of honesty, I guess.
And I still don't know how that distinguishes it from all your other puzzles.
Fair point, I guess. Well, it was a puzzler that asks the question, what am I?
You want me to answer that?
No, I don't want you to answer that. We'll be back with the question and the answer, along with more of your calls in a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Johnny got a love on loving his life. It wasn't his girlfriend, it isn't his wife. It's not Jesus, he don't know if it's sin. Only thing that John is interested in is junk cars. Can't get them all from mine. Junk cars, who with them all the time? Up on blocks for the world to see. Lays awake thinking how sharp they'll be. Junk cars, his little Mustang's hot. Yes, sir. On the pockets of his Sunday pants, a junk car. Can't get them all in mind. Junk car. Fool with them all the time.
And even though June brides start shopping for radio-free convents whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this is from my putrid collection.
Not the string collection or the coins.
No.
The putrid. Okay.
You know, cars have evolved a lot over the last 100 years, and parts have been made from a variety of materials. For example, wheels used to be made out of wood, and they were made out of steel, and now they're made out of some kind of magnesium aluminum alloy. Dashboards used to be made out of wood, and then they were made out of steel, and now plastic and other things. So I'm going to do this little what am I game. I'm going to tell you what I used to be made of, and you tell me what I am now.
Yeah.
You remember this?
I do remember that. I thought this was a fascinating...
Well,
even if the answer is bogus, and I couldn't figure out the answer, I will admit that.
All right, well.
But even if the answer is bogus, the technique that you used is...
You like that?
Novel. Am I? I love it. I love it. Go ahead. Okay.
In the early days of cars, I didn't even exist. When they saw a need for me, I was first made out of wood. Later on, when they discovered that that didn't work too well, I was made out of leather. Sometime later, I was made out of cotton. Now, I have to confess.
Here comes.
For the purposes of obfuscation and I took a little poetic license and left out a few years of advances in automotive technology.
Oh.
You know,
between the cotton and the next step.
Well, I left out about 75 years.
Well, that could be all right.
But if you listen carefully, said...
No, it's not a lie. Today...
Today...
Yeah.
I am made out of a mixture of things, some of which are, and I didn't mention all of them, obviously, steel wool, iron, and bronze.
Steel wool, iron, and bronze. Yeah.
of course, I did leave out the bonding agent, the thing that holds those three components together, which is some kind of resin. And what all these things were, believe it or not, were brakes. The first cars did not have brakes. When they saw a need to stop the car, they actually used blocks of
wood. Was that like the first day?
The first afternoon. Yeah.
And was it right after the word oops?
Yeah. It was like,
something, otherwise known as oops.
Yeah.
And then?
And then the first attempt at stopping the car used wooden blocks. When that failed, because the wood what?
Wooden blocks?
Wooden blocks.
How'd they do that?
Well, they grabbed the wheel with the wooden blocks. And then they refined that to leather. And then to cotton. That was pretty cute, huh?
Cotton.
Yeah.
Man, that's a mystery to me. I would never have gotten this. I was working on clutches.
Ah.
But the wood. In fact, if it weren't for the wood.
That's what made it such a great puzzle.
Stunk.
Jeez. All right, who's our winner? You think that one stunk? Where did you hear this week?
The winner is Dave Knight.
Atta boy, Dave!
It's always good to know there's one wacko who thinks like you. From Norman, Oklahoma. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Dave will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CartDoc.com, with which he can get a blue-on-blue Latin T-shirt that says, Non impediti ratione cogitationis.
Which is the Latin translation of my brother's personal creed and motto, unencumbered by the thought process.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
You ever notice how nobody ever challenged your claim to that motto?
No. There were no objections. Even the trademark office just rubber stamped.
It's yours, man. No one else wants it. Well, the T-shirt includes both the Latin and the English translation and the Car Talk logo, and that's yours for being this week's puzzler winner.
Good work.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up later, so stay tuned for that. It's always going to be a challenge, I guess. In the meantime, you can try to pry some decent advice out of us.
Yeah, good luck with that, too.
We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate from Seattle. What's going on?
Okay, well, so I have a 2004 Porsche Cayenne, and I got it about 9 months ago. And just recently, it started hissing at me. And it makes this noise, and it's just like every time I press the brake pedal, it's like this.
Snakes.
Well, so I've got my kids in the back of the car, and they say, Mama, what's wrong with your car?
Really?
Yeah, it's really loud.
Okay, so when you're driving, it's not there.
Right.
You have to be stepping on the brake.
Stepping on the brake, and then, you know, if you're at a red light or something, or if the bridge is up and you're waiting, then you're sitting there the whole time, and it actually is so loud that it competes with the stereo. And it sounds like air coming out of a balloon.
You know why? Because it's air coming out of a balloon, kind of. It's actually air going in. You have almost every car, with few exceptions, has a power brake booster that operates off engine vacuum. What's happening is that diaphragm is leaking. So that as that vacuum is being applied to that diaphragm, which would help you multiply the force that you apply to the brake pedal, that hissing sound is what you're hearing when you step on the brake pedal because the diaphragm is leaking. And as soon as you take your foot off and the diaphragm pops back into place, the hissing stops. Now, you could probably experiment with it. If you moved your brake pedal sometimes from left to right, you know, kind of try to nudge it one way or the other while your foot was on it, you might be able to change the hissing. But that's undoubtedly what it is.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
Have you taken
How long has it been happening?
Well, you know, it's been happening for a couple of weeks. But here's the funny thing is I called the dealership and I told them about it and I wanted to make sure it was safe to drive these kids around. And they said, oh, it's probably been there the whole time and you just haven't noticed it. Of course, now they think now it makes me think I'm going crazy. But my kids are in the back and they tell me, no, this is new.
Oh, yeah. No, this is new. I mean, they wouldn't have let it go from the factory like that, certainly. And I'm surprised that the dealership told you it was safe.
Yeah.
Because they can't make any money from you if you don't take the thing in.
But is it safe or not?
No, it's not safe.
It's not safe.
No, it's not safe because when in fact the booster is leaking like that, when the diaphragm is leaking, you are not getting the maximum amount of force multiplication. You it's still working, obviously, because you haven't noticed that you're not able to stop the thing. But, for example, if you were to lose your power brakes, if this diaphragm were to rupture and you lost your power brakes, you wouldn't be able to stop this thing.
Oh, geez.
Well, you would, but you'd have to stand on that pedal.
Yeah, it won't be easy.
It won't be easy. You'll have to put both feet on that pedal and have the kids push on your shoulders.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah. All right.
So you need to take it in ASAP and tell them you're 99% sure that the power brake booster is leaking and they need to replace it.
Power brake booster.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, Kate.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK.
See, it's nice that we can tell most people, forget it.
Right.
But that one we can't tell.
No.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, we tell them to forget it, especially when we don't know the answer. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jackson. I'm calling from Braintree, Vermont.
Hey, Jackson. What's going on?
Well, I've got an automotive/agricultural question for you guys.
Oh, I'm sure. We're
good at that.
Sure.
Yeah. I know, it's your area of expertise. My question is, I drive a 2002 Toyota Tacoma four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
But my question is more about something I'm going to be putting behind the truck.
It's not a cattle trailer, is it?
No, I'm trying to move a rather large chicken coop. In the next couple of days, I've lost a ton of sleep over it, and I'm just hoping you guys can provide some last-minute advice on how to avoid catastrophic failure.
So the chicken coop is going to be loaded onto the truck?
The chicken coop's going to be loaded onto a snowmobile trailer that I bought specifically to move this baby.
And how big is said?
How big is it?
Yeah, how big is said chicken coop?
So the coop is 8 feet by 8 feet. That's the footprint, and it's about 9 feet tall.
Well, it won't be after you go into that first low bridge.
8 by 9 feet tall.
Essentially, yeah.
This chicken coop, I imagine, is made out of sticks and chicken wire.
It's actually, if you looked at it from the outside, you'd think it was a nice little garden shed. It's a stud wall with clapboards and windows. And
really?
This is the chicken mahal. I spent way too much time and money building this thing.
And how many chickens does said chicken coop house?
It housed six at the time. We're going to be putting 10 in it when we get it to the farm. Where
10? That's it?
10, yeah. It has room for more. We can fit more in there.
And how far are you moving it, Jackson?
Well, as you know, Vermont's geographically handicapped, so we have a series of mountains right down the center of the state. So what would be a 30-mile, as the crow flies, trip is actually close to 100 to get north and then back down south.
There are companies that do this, that will put this on a trailer, I mean a real trailer, not a Mickey Mouse trailer like you're planning to use. Put it on or a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
And they'll drive it.
And they'll drive it. Like they... You know, and they'll secure it with straps. I mean, you can secure it with straps, too.
Right.
But you're going to make one turn, and you're going to say, hey, you'll be looking in the rearview mirror and say, what happened to the chicken coop?
And will they deliver it to the exact spot I want it on the farm?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if you pay them, I hate to ask, how much did you spend to construct this thing?
I've got, it's sickening, but I've got probably $1,500 in this coop.
Yeah, does your significant other know about this?
Oh yeah, no, she scoffs. I mean, they refer her chickens. I mean, that's the thing. I built this. This was a love coop.
You know? Well, this is $150 a chicken by my rough calculation here.
Right.
This...
But isn't that stretched out over the lifetime of the
How
farm?
Long do chickens live?
I don't know, 4 years. But we keep recycling. We can bring more chickens in.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, it could be. This could be a 30 or 40 year investment here.
Easily. So you don't think the snowmobile trailer is a good idea?
No, no, that's a bogus idea. But we know you're going to do it anyway.
What are my chances of catastrophic failure? That's what I really want to
about
know.
About 90 plus percent.
90%?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no.
Well, here's the only way you could do it.
Okay.
If you did it late at night or earlier in the morning.
Midnight
and,
run.
And you drove so slowly that you would just... But if you're trying to keep up with the flow of traffic...
Well, then,
and you got this house behind your pickup truck, and you're don't forget you're unfamiliar with this whole process.
Right.
You got wind resistance. You got security issues.
I've got my father following me in a pickup with flashers.
Oh, he's going to kill him too.
And my future brother-in-law and my brother are both.
Oh boy, this could be like a family tragedy. They'd be talking about this for decades. we're not giving you our blessing here, Jackson.
Okay.
But if you are going to do it and you seem determined to do it, I think you have to go at a time when there are no other cars on the road.
Okay.
And you can buy tie downs. You can buy tie down straps.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get a couple
ratchet straps. You need more than a couple, and you can gang them together, and you can tie the thing down pretty securely.
Yeah.
But it's going to be especially dangerous on turns.
Right.
That's where you're really vulnerable. You know, that's it's good to have all these people following you. So they can help you pick it up and put it back on.
Well, I'm bringing a chainsaw in case it really smashes into pieces. And we got
I would investigate finding someone who might charge you just a few $100s to move this thing.
Really?
And they will assume all the liability and all the responsibility, and they will have done it before.
Really?
Don't forget, they move houses.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
I know, but there's no adventure. There's no romance in it. I can see that.
But having done it before is a big, big advantage.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time that kills you.
Yeah, don't forget, they dropped a few.
It's going to be your first time, and you're going to be sorry.
Yeah.
But then again, you might get a lot of laughs out of it. I don't know.
Well, we're gonna videotape it anyway, just to be sure.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Retained for posterity.
Yeah, for your heirs to watch. Yeah.
And for the insurance, for the life insurance people
to... Good luck, Jackson. Let us know how this works.
Please
out
let us know.
All right, I will. Thank you guys very much for your help.
Great.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Cindy calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Cindy.
Cindy, Brooklyn, hello. New York.
What's on your mind today?
I drive a 1996 Toyota Tacoma pickup, and this summer we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary. It's the longest and most successful relationship in my life.
You and the truck, that is.
Me and the truck.
Yeah.
And like any old husband, he's decided he doesn't like to do more than one errand in a day. And if I drive around for a while, stop, turn the car off, and come back to it, it won't start up again until it's cooled down.
What happens when you try to start it?
It turns over, and the starter's fine, the battery's fine, but it doesn't ignite.
Oh, it cranks.
So it just goes...
Exactly. Cranks, makes all the sounds except the actual starting sound.
And how long does it have to cool down before it will start up?
Usually I wait about an hour or two. I do the puzzler. I sit around, play a game of football, come back to the car, and then it'll start up again like new without any trouble, like a perfect start.
And is it weather dependent? If, for example, it's a hot day, is it apt to be longer before you can restart it?
Yes, actually, I thought it was fixed a couple months ago, but it turns out it was just winter.
Oh, you thought it had fixed itself?
Yes, I thought it had gone away as miraculously as it arrived.
Yeah.
And what's the shortest amount of time that you've had to wait before a restart was successful?
I would say, well, I mean, in the wintertime, it'll start right back up again with no trouble.
Uh-huh.
In the summer, I will have to wait the full hour.
The full
usually.
Hour or longer. So is
uh-huh. I did have my mechanic look at it.
Yeah.
And he said he knew just the thing for it. He offered to install a DVD player so I could sit and watch a film while I waited.
Well, that's
good,
nice.
Good. Well, that was going to be our answer, but he stole that idea.
You know, like all things, too, he's like, bring it to me and we'll look at the problem, but it has not reproduced the problem in front of him. It performs wonderfully in front of the mechanic.
Yeah,
but you can reproduce it almost every time you drive it.
Every time I drive it, yes.
Oh, so you need to drive it like you usually do and pull into his place and block the door. So that the car he's working on can't get out.
Can't get out.
Until he figures out what's wrong with yours. And it's either going to be spark-related or fuel-related. So either your fuel pump isn't working or the relay is failing when it gets hot, which can certainly happen.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is that it's probably related to spark.
So I should probably wait for a really hot day, drive it all around.
The hottest day, when he's having the most miserable day imaginable, and block his door.
Block it and be like, this is your problem for the next 2 hours until it starts again.
Exactly.
Have you ever tried starting it, if you shut it off,
mm-hmm.
have you ever tried starting it like immediately afterwards?
Yes. If I am driving and I turn off the car for just a second, it will start right back up, no problem.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's if I had to guess, I'd say it's a faulty crankshaft sensor. You might suggest that to him, but I wouldn't do that until he sweated a little bit.
Yeah, so I really block his shop for 2 hours.
Yeah,
so that's the best advice we can give you. But it's this should be a fairly simple diag, because if he all else fails, he can go online and check it out. He can Google it. That's what we do sometimes.
And I'll tell him no DVD player this time.
No, no, not at all. And if you do get one that's formatted for the, you know, Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly.
See you later, Cindy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we get to this week's new puzzler, we have to take a very short break.
Just long enough for my brother to make up a new puzzler.
That's not true.
No?
No, I made up the puzzler during the last break. Anyway, this week's new puzzler is from my Mistaken Identity series, and we'll be right back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I'm going out driving with the top down. Early morning down a country road. What a rush, what a blast, what a wonderful feeling. It gets me deep inside when I'm driving with the top down.
And even though body-piercing professionals get a flurry of eardrum requests whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Okay, I'm ready.
Pay attention. You know, this is the time of year where we get a lot of visitors to the shop and Car Talk Plaza because it's graduation, summer vacation, and all that. And,
yeah.
And I've noticed a lot of kids coming by asking, you know, if we can have puzzlers for them.
Oh.
You know, because sometimes they feel a little bit left out. So this is a puzzler kind of for kids.
For kids?
Yeah, I figure you got a shot at this one. So does Berman. And this was actually sent in by Mr. Paul Mulick, who has submitted many puzzlers over the years.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Three men, Mr. White, Mr. Brown, and Mr. Green, were in the habit of meeting at a local donut shop every morning for coffee and what? Donuts, of course.
Right.
Something like you do for 4 or 5 hours a day. One morning, as they were sitting at their usual table, Mr. White remarked, "Hey, would you look at that? We're each wearing a colored baseball cap today. There's one white cap, one brown cap, and one green cap. But interestingly, nobody is wearing a cap of the color that matches his name."
Oh.
At this, the guy wearing the green cap says, "Oh, you stoop. That doesn't mean anything. It's just coincidence. Shut up and eat your donut." What color cap is each man wearing?
Huh? What?
Now, if you think you know,
okay.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Jetlev R200 water-propelled jetpack.
Yeah, sure.
With a watercraft-based tow-behind four-stroke 250-horsepower engine producing 430 foot-pounds of torque, propelling the pilot at speeds up to 22 miles an hour at a height of 28 feet. Include the standard 26-gallon fuel tank, capable of full-throttle power for half an hour or 3 hours of cruising, and send the whole thing along with a wetsuit and a huge waterproof banner that says, "Get me down," to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
You can indeed. And if you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I hear an echo in here. Hello, yeah. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Ann from Salisbury, North Carolina.
Hi, Mary Ann. Hi. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
We're fine. We're fine as well. So what's
good.
Going on?
Well, I have a 99 Buick Park Avenue that I love.
Oh.
But it has a little problem with the air conditioning. The temperature on the passenger side is just wonderful. It's cool and calm and everything. But on the driver's side, it's blowing like ambient temperature air. It's almost like it's two different units.
Well, you need a driver.
Right.
Well, that would be lovely. Would you come down and be my driver?
Well, no. You know what would work, too, if you didn't want to fix this? A piece of cardboard that could deflect that air right over to you.
Well, that's what I've been doing.
Well, there you go.
But it doesn't work all that well.
No, it's not great.
Well, this does not have, it has climate control, obviously, but it doesn't have dual temperature controls, does it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, the one for the driver's side isn't working.
That's the problem.
Is there one for the driver's side?
Well, there is, because you set the temperature as the driver. You turn the thing on, you set the temperature.
Right.
The passenger can now set his or her own temperature to be different from yours.
Correct.
So you set thing at low, which is like 60.
Right.
Okay? And then the passenger can decide, well, I don't want 60, I want 67.
Yeah, but it's 60 on the passenger side and like 70 on the driver's side.
Yeah, I know, because the driver's side one isn't working.
Oh, okay. How do I fix that?
Cardboard.
Well, you
may need to replace the whole control unit. I don't know how. Yeah, you may need to replace the whole gizmo.
Oh dear.
You're gonna have to. You haven't taken it to anyone, have you?
No, I haven't.
You need to do that, Marianne.
Yeah.
You first of all, you don't sound old enough to be driving this car.
I'm way old.
You're not way old.
You don't sound it, though.
No.
Well, thank you, but I'm way old.
Have you been notified by AARP?
Yes, I've so been notified by
AARP. Oh, you're old enough to drive this car. All right. Never mind. You just sound very young.
Thank you.
So you need to take it someplace because it's going to be hotter than a fox pretty soon.
Yeah. Is it going to be expensive?
Maybe. This might be hundreds of dollars, but you know what? When it gets to be 98 degrees.
You won't care.
You'll pay anything.
That's true. You're right.
Get on it, Marianne. And just to be on the safe side, stock up on cardboard boxes.
Okay.
See you later.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Good luck.
Bye.
Oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chantel from Monterey, California.
Chantel, how do you spell that?
C-H and a T-E-L. It's not the fancy way.
Oh, T-E. All right, not the A-N-T-A-L-L-E-Q-E-A-U-X. So what's cooking?
Well, I have a bit of a car confession, and I was hoping you guys could help me absolve my guilt or maybe give me some advice on how to go from here. So I've been carrying this around for over 10 years.
Oh.
Yes, and I it's finally gotten to me. So
guilt.
Okay.
Yes. My family's a big Volvo family. I went to college in the same Volvo station wagon I went to kindergarten in. So I was driving my dad's Volvo, and the muffler came disconnected from the tube. And what happened was it got really loud. So I took it in, and the muffler guy said, well, we can weld that back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably drove it like that for 3 months or so.
Unwelded or welded?
Before I got it welded.
Before you got it welded. Ah.
So I finally got it welded, and on the way home, I was getting on the freeway. The car was so quiet that I forgot to shift. It was a manual transmission. It turns out I had been using the muffler sound to prompt my shifting.
Exactly.
So yeah.
I looked down, and I was going about 70, 75 in second gear.
Second gear, yeah.
Yeah, and I got all the way home. I shifted, of course, right away. But I got all the way home, and it was very, very soon after that the car wouldn't start. And the tow truck driver who came out said, it looks like you've lost compression. And my dad said, find a shop, have it towed, and have it looked at. And the shop said, all the cylinders are gone. It's no good. Just sign it over to us. Well, it's a little fishy because when we got there, it looked like a Volvo graveyard. There must have been 35 Volvos in the front. And my dad,
these guys
was really
are trafficking
upset.
In Volvos.
Yeah. So my dad was upset, and he sort of wrote it off and just said, okay, fine, it's not worth the hassle. You need a better car anyway. So I ended up with a different car. But I never told my dad that I had forgotten to shift going 70 miles an hour. So what I need to know is, can you absolve me of my guilt? Could I have really blown out all four cylinders?
Well, the only way we can do this, Chantel, is we have to talk to Dad.
Oh, no. Okay.
You'll have to stay on the line while we look at it. We'll break it to him. He'll be reluctant to flip out if he knows he's on the radio.
Okay.
But by the way, what kind of a Volvo was this?
It was an early 90s Volvo station wagon. It was like a 960 or the 940.
And how many miles did you drive it in second gear, do you think?
Just from, the stoplight to that big swooping turn to get on the freeway. And by the time I was merging onto the freeway, I looked down and was like, oh, dear. It wasn't very long.
Huh. You didn't do anything.
Well, you didn't do it. Exactly.
I didn't?
No, you couldn't have done anything because the computer won't make the engine run faster than it can run.
Okay.
In other words, if at 75 miles an hour in second gear, the engine was probably doing about 5,000 RPM. But
it was definitely up there.
It was up there. It was certainly up there, I'm sure. But if the engine couldn't run at that speed, and how many miles did this car have on it?
It had to have been 50 to 80,000.
That's all?
Yeah, it couldn't have been very much.
Oh, you killed it then.
No, come on. You said I didn't first.
No. All right, look at Chantel. Give us Dad's number. Can we reach him now?
We could give him a shot. He should be at home.
All right, give us his number. We'll take it off the air.
Okay.
And then we'll call him. What's his name?
His name is Levon.
Levon?
Or John. That's the American version.
Oh, John. Okay.
Levon. Yeah. Levon. Where's Levon from?
We're from Armenia, Armenian-American.
Armenia. So Levon is John, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, huh. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to him. Give us the number. Shoot.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Stay on the line. Don't go away. You can remain silent.
Yeah. You can hear everything that happens.
Don't let him hear you whimper. You'll be good now.
Hello?
This is Levon.
Speaking.
Hi, this is Ray and Tom from Car Talk.
Yes.
How are you today?
Fine, how are you?
You having a nice day?
Very good.
Oh, we're about to put an end to that, I guess. Well, listen, we've been talking to your daughter, Chantel.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she called us because she's been harboring a deep, dark secret for 10 years. And she asked us to be, I don't know, maybe her emissaries in this regard.
Should I be sitting down?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you should be sitting down.
Maybe lying down would be better.
Okay, let me get my pillow here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here's the deal. So yeah. This was a 960 wagon that she was driving that evidently met its end while she was driving home from college.
Was it a 940 or 960?
Oh, 940, okay, it was 940. And she drove home from college, and then the car wouldn't start, evidently, the next day.
Yeah.
And you took it to a repair shop, and what did they tell you happened to it?
I don't think they ever looked at it, because I looked at the plug and put it in a certain way. I went back, and they hadn't even opened the hood, and they said it's worthless. It needs basically a new engine. There's nothing they could do with it. Huh. And it was interesting because they had probably maybe 15 or 20 Volvos there, and I think what they really did was selling parts.
Yeah, they may have been a junkyard posing as a repair shop.
Yeah, they were just pulling in cars and telling them that it's not worth fixing and then selling parts off of it. It was a great business for them.
Oh, my God. I just had a lugubrious thought. And
I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound
good. Oh, it's bad. I don't know if she divulged this to you, but... there were two things that she did to the car which she feels badly about and never told you. One was that she drove the car for a long time, several months, with the muffler disconnected from the intermediate pipe, so the thing sounded very loud. Did she ever tell you that?
No.
And then she finally got it fixed because, what, she was coming home and didn't want you to hear the car. Because the car was then so quiet, she got on the highway on her way home, and before she knew it, she was doing 75 miles an hour, but in second gear, because the thing was so quiet. You know, she had equated...
She forgot to shift.
She was using the noise of the engine to be a cue to shift the car.
Oh, she was cranking the stereo is what she was doing and couldn't hear anything.
Probably had that stereo cranked up. Okay, so she was doing that. But she wanted to apologize because she thought that she may have had something to do with it. And we said, look, you didn't drive far enough at 75 miles an hour in second gear to have damaged anything. And so we wanted to put that to rest. Chantel, are you there?
Hi, Dad.
Great.
Dad, you still with us?
I'm a little stunned at this point.
Well, but here's the lugubrious thought I had. In that it wasn't that drive of 75 miles an hour in second gear that did it, but it may have been the 3 months of driving without a muffler that basically overheated the valves and may have led to low compression ultimately.
Yeah.
And that's why it wouldn't start when she got it home, because the valves, the exhaust system, when it's intact, is supposed to maintain a certain thing called back pressure.
Right.
And without a proper exhaust on your car, the back pressure is too low, and the exhaust gases escape so fast from the combustion process that they can overheat the valves and burn them up.
Mm.
Oh, so Chantel,
I thought I was in the clear.
No, we thought so too, and it was looking so good for you. And then just this second, it hit me that that's probably what happened. But, Levon, can you find any way in your heart to forgive your daughter, or is she out of the will?
Well, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't mean to. I really didn't. I was so broke, I couldn't fix the muffler.
Well, but isn't it? Okay, now, first of all, wouldn't that muffler be so obnoxiously loud that they could even pull her over?
Not if you're playing the music that loud.
Dad, it was so loud, an old lady gave me the bird on the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old was this old lady?
She was pretty spry for her age.
Yeah, good for her.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kill the car.
Well, now I feel bad because I really thought that guy took us to the hilt on this the useless car idea. The whole time I thought he was really kind of ripping us off. Maybe he was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a complicated story this is. This is like a soap opera. You can get Susan Lucci out of retirement, even.
Can I still come home for the summer?
Let me think about it.
Oh,
come on.
Have a heart, man.
It's the only way I can get even. Of course you can come home for the summer.
There you go.
And you're going to be cutting the grass all summer.
Because I want to drive your car.
So, Chantal, you apologize to Dad for having ruined his car, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Dad, you forgive your daughter because she's your daughter and you love her.
And that's what we do for a living, of course. That's what fathers do.
That's right.
Just love their daughters.
Good
exactly
for you.
Right. So all's well in your household.
Well, she's never going to drive my Porsche, that's for sure.
That's for damn sure. That's right. All right. Well, it's a lesson well learned, I guess.
I think so.
It's been a pleasure talking to both of you.
Thank you very much.
It
really was.
Okay.
See you, folks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Crotch Chafe of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Then hello, sir. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eiffel Tower, sweet and sour, whole wheat flour, kraut that's sour, champagne shower, bite and devour, happy hour, is John Bugsy Lawler. Woo! Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our staff oceanographer is Maureen Habitat. Our director of long-term warranties is Bianca Prehension. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the historic pothole preservationists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
I said that, didn't I? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1124. Download classic Car Talk episodes or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we answer all of your questions about road trips in the summer.
That's right. What's worse than breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July? Breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July with your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Don't even say it.
So before you head off into the wild asphalt yonder this summer, print out, or better yet, actually read a copy of our summer driving tips. It's got stuff you should do before and during your trip.
Like carry a bus ticket.
For you? Yes. That's Car Talk's complete summer driving tips, posted right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though other network satellites feel bad for the one that has to beam us whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.